Radio Prague News.
The Czech cabinet finalises preparations for next year's budget. Actor Jan Tryška dies, and economic confidence hits a new year high. The Czech cabinet meeting on Monday made final preparations for the 2018 budget. Most of the major issues had been settled, such as a 470 crown a month increase in pensions and 10% increase in wages for state workers. But some outstanding issues still had to be cleared up. These included how much extra funding would be found for universities. An extra 3 billion was eventually agreed there. The target budget deficit for 2018 is 50 billion crowns, with more money for spending facilitated by an increase in expected tax and other earnings as a result of the country's strong economic performance. A new government formed after elections at the end of October could adjust those budget targets. Czech actor Jan Tryška has died at the age of 80, the news server IDNES reported Monday, citing director Jiří Marl. Tryška was in serious condition in hospital following a fall from Prague's Charles Bridge over the weekend. The actor was rated as one of the most talented to emerge in the 1960s. He emigrated to Canada in 1977 and onto the United States, where he lived in Los Angeles. Tryška was known for his many Czech film roles, such as the school teacher in the Oscar-nominated film Obecná škola, and his stage performances, such as his performance in Shakespeare's King Lear. Police say they are treating Saturday's fall as an accident, but are also seeking witnesses to what happened. Czech economic confidence climbed to a highest year level since the start of the year in September, according to the Czech Statistical Office. The overall confidence index rose by 0.4 points in September to reach 99.1 points, the best performance since the start of the year. The index registering rising confidence in the prospects for the economy, both from business and consumers, and the rise in positive sentiment was strongest from consumers. Czech politicians have mostly welcomed the election results in neighbouring Germany, the fourth time the CDU-CSU have won the elections led by Angela Merkel. Many, however, saw a third-place finish of the nationalist far-right AfD as a warning sign. The head of the Czech party, Ano, Andrej Babiš, suggested that AfD were the real election winners. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka called the result a clear victory for Merkel and expressed the conviction that she would soon form a stable government, which he called important for both Europe and Czech-German relations. He added those who cheered for AfD did not see beyond the tip of their noses, and that migrants and the EU being targeted today would be joined by Czechs and Poles tomorrow. Defence Minister Martin Stropnicki has confirmed that exhibition parachute jumps at public events by the military will be banned indefinitely following an accident in Letná Plain, Prague, during army days at the weekend, in which three people were injured. The ban will continue at least until an investigation into what happened has been completed. In the accident, a paratrooper lost control during landing due to a sudden gust of wind and missed his target, hitting members of the public. And finally, a look at the weather. It will be sunny with cloud and rain across most of the country and top temperatures ranging between 16 and 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, Czech reactions to the mixed news stemming from the German elections. We pay tribute to the actor Jan Tryška, and later we look at green hotspots in Prague. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The outcome of Germany's parliamentary elections has evoked mixed reactions in Prague. Relief over Chancellor Angela Merkel's election victory is mingled with concern by the surge in support for the AfD, which brings a far-right party into Germany's parliament for the first time in more than half a century. Daniela Lazarova reports.
Congratulations to Chancellor Merkel have poured in from Czech mainstream politicians who are hoping that despite the Conservative Christian Democratic Party's weakened position, the seasoned German Chancellor will succeed in forming a stable government. This is immensely important for Europe and for Czech-German relations, Prime Minister Sobotka tweeted, adding that those who are celebrating the surge of support for the AfD cannot see further than their nose. Today, the party is against migrants and the European Union. Tomorrow it will target Czechs and Poles, he said. The Social Democratic Prime Minister likewise expressed disappointment over the poor showing of the SPD, saying that the party had clearly fulfilled its election program, but all the credit had gone to CDU. He said he could understand Schulz's decision to go into the opposition. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek likewise welcomed Angela Merkel's fourth successive election victory as a promise of stability and continuity in Germany and the European Union, but predicted that the Chancellor would not have an easy time ahead of her.
The fact that Chancellor Merkel won the elections for the fourth time in a row is a major achievement that commands respect. However, her party's victory was far from resounding, and the creation of a stable coalition is likely to be a brain teaser.
Centre-right Top 09 leader Miroslav Kalousek said it was encouraging that the majority of voters had chosen to support democracy and humanism over populism and hate, noting that the boost in support for AfD was no surprise and had been amply assisted by Russian propaganda. Far stronger words came from ANO leader Andrei Babiš, who tweeted that the AfD was in actual fact the winner of this election. As regards the SPD's poor showing, Babiš noted that the German socialists were not only ruining their own party, but Europe as well. Communist Party leader Wojciech Filip said the loss of support for traditional parties such as CDU and SPD in favour of the far-right AfD was not good news for Germany or for Europe. It is obvious that there is widespread disillusionment in Germany, he noted. The former Secretary for European Affairs, Tomáš Próza, noted that the CDU's likely coalition with the Liberal Free Democratic Party and the Greens would put more pressure on reforms in EU regulations in the sphere of energy, industry and climate. And as expected, the election success of the AfD drew a cheer from the Eurosceptic former Czech President Václav Klaus, who publicly supported the party in the run-up to the elections. Klaus said the weakening of the traditional parties in favour of AfD was a fantastic result, which showed that German voters had not allowed themselves to be brainwashed by media propaganda and had used their own common sense. He expressed the hope that Czech voters would follow their example in October's parliamentary elections.
Daniela Lazareva with that roundup of reactions. The great Czech actor Jan Tryska has died at the age of 80. Well known on stage and screen in Czechoslovakia, he had to start all over again after emigrating to the US in the 1970s. However, his career had a wonderful third act in the form of major late career success in his native country. Ian Willoughby reports.
Jak se jmenuješ, chlapče?
Rosenheim.
Jdeš pozdě, Rosenheim. Víš o tom?
A scene from the 1991 film Obecná škola, or The Elementary School. Jan Tryska rather stole the film with his role as whip-wielding teacher Igor Hnízdo and found fresh popularity with audiences in his native Czechoslovakia. The Prague-born actor had won recognition decades earlier for his stage work. He was the youngest actor at the National Theatre when he joined in 1959, and roles in movies such as the hit fairy tale Raduz and Mahulena.
Vážení přátelé, to, co prožíváme v těchto hodinách v Česku.
Jan Tryska was also known for courageous underground broadcasting from the Liberec studios of Czechoslovak radio during the 1968 Soviet invasion, when he read out on air defiant texts written by his good friend Václav Havel. In 1977, after signing Charter 77, the actor emigrated to North America. He recalled his tough beginnings there at a news conference in Prague earlier this year.
When I left, I thought I could speak English, but when I got to America, I realised I couldn't speak English at all. I'm still working at it. In Canada, I immediately did a film for which my English was good enough. Then, luckily, I got the main role in a theatre in New York, and I just studied and studied. I'm a relatively hard-working person.
Among around four dozen films Tryska appeared in the US, were two by his compatriot Miloš Forman, Ragtime and The People vs. Larry Flint. By the time of the latter, he was frequently returning from the States to perform in the Czech Republic, winning a top domestic theatre prize for his work in the 2002 Summer Shakespeare Festival at Prague Castle. Tryska was active to the last. At the age of 80, he was due to start work on a new film just this week and had at least one other Czech movie project lined up. On Saturday, Jan Tryska fell from Prague's Charles Bridge into the Vltava River. The exact circumstances of the fall remain shrouded in mystery, but police say it appears to have been an accident rather than suicide. Following his death on Monday at a Prague hospital, many tributes have been paid to Jan Tryska. Among them came this one from actress Tatiana Fischerová.
For me, he was composed of two people. One was before he emigrated. That one was full-blooded, temperamental, a bit mysterious, an incredibly powerful and distinctive actor and artist. The second, after emigration, was terribly conscientious and professional. Both sides were extremely admirable and attractive. I had extraordinary respect for him.
Tatiana Fischerová, ending that tribute there to the actor Jan Tryska by Ian Willoughby. And we stay with Ian for a roundup of the latest sports news.
The eyes of the tennis world were on Prague at the weekend when the first ever edition of the Laver Cup proved a major success. The competition pitted Team Europe against Team World and came to a climax on Sunday with a tie-break thriller won by the former. Victory was sealed by world number two Roger Federer after the Swiss superstar beat Nick Kyrgios of Australia 4-6, 7-6, 11-9. That gave the Europeans an unassailable 15-9 lead and sparked jubilant celebrations. Among those rejoicing and taking a team selfie was the local representative on Team Europe, Tomáš Berdych. However, though he played quite well, the Czech failed to win any of his three matches at the weekend.
It definitely spoils the result for me. As for my performance on the court and how the games looked, I think that, fortunately, they show another side of things. The game is played to win, not to be beautiful. But at the same time, it's good if you can play the tennis that you want to play. And for me, that's a good indicator regarding the remainder of the season.
Tomáš Berdych. While local tennis fans enjoyed a rare treat in seeing in the flesh so many top-class players and captains Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe, they won't get the chance next year as the 2018 Laver Cup is set to take place in Chicago. Football and Viktoria Plzeň just keep on going. The West Bohemians beat Mladá Boleslav 2-0 at the weekend for their eighth victory in eight outings to extend their own record for best start of the season in the Czech Soccer League. The only downside of their latest win was an injury to fullback David Limbersky, who requires an operation after breaking his jaw. Slavia Prague, meanwhile, have extended their record unbeaten run to 34 games. However, the champions don't have so much to celebrate, as their 1-1 at Zlín means they've now drawn half of their games this season and are a full 8 points behind leaders Plzeň. Slavia also have another problem with midfielder Miroslav Stoch, facing disciplinary action after chanting "Deaf to Sparta" to fans after a previous game. For their part, Sparta are 1 point behind Slavia after a 3-0 win over Teplice, during which many of their fans stayed away from the cup at their Letná stadium in a protest against the club's management. That's all the sports news for today.
Ian Willoughby, thanks to him for that roundup. And now we join Ruud Francova for this week's feature, which focuses on the capital's ecological hotspots.
Eco-friendly hotels, bike rentals, vegan and raw restaurants or local design boutiques. All that and much more can be found in a new guide to Prague called The Green City Guide. Written by two young, eco-conscious women, the guide offers sustainable alternatives to travellers visiting the Czech capital. When I met with the authors of Prague Green City Guide, Aneta Hebrová and Jennifer Day, I first asked them to introduce it in more detail.
Well, as you can see immediately, it's a book about green Prague, so alternatives for people who are eco-conscious, looking for sustainable alternatives. So that includes vegetarian restaurants, eco-hostels and hotels, sustainable fashion shops, places where you can buy unpackaged food and products for the zero-waste crowd, places where you can rent bikes, even bike-sharing options, urban gardens, farmers markets where you can buy local products. So we try to really cover all bases. So really from the morning to the evening, where you can sleep, where you can eat, explore, shop, and then also get involved, because we want people to know about local projects that are happening. So NGOs that are raising awareness and organizing, for example, film festivals where even tourists can attend and watch documentaries in English about these kinds of topics.
Talking about tourists, who is this guide intended for? Is it just for tourists, or did you also have on mind local people who might find it useful?
Well, for sure, the main target group is like the tourist group, but it can also serve expats living here and also this community as well. So for everyone who is just interested in this topic and who loves Prague.
How long did it actually take you to put all this information together? Because there are really dozens of different businesses. How long have you been working on this?
Mm-hmm. We have about 167 businesses listed, or not only businesses, but places. Well, our project started 2 years ago, Green Glasses, and that was more of a platform for locals, but we were researching the same topic, trying to find businesses that offer sustainable alternatives.
And this is an online project, the project Green Glasses,
yes,
that you're talking about.
Yes, it's an online project, and it's a similar idea. So a lot of what we learned through those 2 years of doing in-depth interviews with a lot of businesses and people, a lot of that went into the book. So although writing the book took a summer, like a few months, the research really took place over 2 years.
Where did you find all the information? Did the locals help you? Did you draw on their feedback?
Definitely we did. It was kind of going with the flow, I would say. I mean, we would meet a business and then they would give us tips about other businesses that they know. We would speak with our friends through various events that we attended. We also got tips from friends or other people involved in this topic. So it kind of grew really organically. I mean, it was never a problem. We always had too many businesses, not too few. We had a big list, and every week we would try to interview a few of them to really fill in our database online.
And how did you actually decide which of these places will go into the Green City Guide?
Well, some of them were like obvious, but we started to actually through some categories like food or cosmetics, and then through people we realized that it covers more topics with transport and so on. That obvious ones were definitely secondhand shops, renting, sharing, anything which doesn't involve like just buying new things. And from other perspective, we looked on organic food, fair trade options, anything which is something more, right?
More positive than negative impact. Yeah. I mean, nothing has a zero impact, of course, but we know that organic farming uses less water and less pesticides than conventional farming. So we support any organically grown food, also organic fashion. Eating vegetarian, I think, by now is known to be one of the main things that you can do, really one of the easiest things to really cut your environmental impact. So for us, it was sort of like an obvious choice to list vegan and vegetarian restaurants. We believe in taking small steps. So people who are not yet full vegetarians, we think it's fine to just start by reducing. So we would try not to be too much of extremists, but things like biking and secondhand shops, like you said, are fairly obvious ways to reduce your impact.
How did you actually get the idea to start this green directory and then to continue with producing this green guide of Prague?
Well, it was a personal challenge. Jenny was traveling a lot and she saw how, like, let's say nature was damaged, a lot of plastic everywhere. And my motivation was health because I wanted to be more healthy. So we started with ourselves and we also realized that the environment and everything, it's not like disconnected from us.
And a big thing I think is feeling powerless, and that's kind of how we felt, I think, a few years ago. You know, when you're having problems with your health or you see the news and all the terrible things that are happening with the environment and society, and you feel like you can't do anything or the change is happening too slowly. And so that's why we really wanted to just start here, start locally, doing what we can. And sharing that with other people, because it takes a lot of time to research these things. Most people don't have the time on the side of their job to figure out everything, like where to find these kinds of alternatives. So we felt that that was kind of some added value.
How expensive would you say is to lead a zero waste or sustainable life? Is it really for everyone? What would you say to people who argue that it's just too time consuming and expensive to lead this way of life?
I definitely think it can be cheaper. If you kind of embrace the quality over quantity mindset, then it doesn't have to be more expensive, because it's not just about buying a product which says green on it. You know, it's also about reducing consumption. Even eating vegetarian saves a lot of money in the long run. Although organic food can cost more, I think it balances out because you're spending less in some categories and then you can afford to kind of invest in things that matter, like your health. There are a lot of other things that can save you money. For example, if you feel like you need something, you know, you need a drill to install something in your house, you can consider whether maybe borrowing it could be an option, sharing with friends. And then you find that through this kind of sharing mentality, you aren't spending more money. And there's the added benefit that you're building community and sort of like getting to know your neighbors, which I think is quite nice. And of course, you know, there's also the issue of saving water and energy at home, which is an obvious way to reduce your costs. But it's definitely a stereotype about this lifestyle. And some of the shops are on the expensive end. But again, you don't go there and buy, you know, 10 things. You buy something really high quality that you'll then take care of and keep for a long time. So that's what I would answer to that.
As you said, you've traveled all around the world. So how green is Prague in comparison to other European cities?
I think it's growing. I mean, we both see that it's definitely the interest in the topic is growing. When I go to other cities like Vienna, for example, I see that it's a bigger topic. Almost every shop you go in has some reference to sustainability. Even in the regular grocery shop, you can find a lot of organic products. And here it's maybe still kind of an alternative lifestyle. But I think it's changing. I mean, even since I've moved to Prague, you know, there are more and more farmers markets. You can find these small bio shops and people are more aware of the topic. So I think it can definitely change quickly and it's definitely improving all the time.
Your guide, your Prague Green Guide, which has just been released, is not the only thing you have been working on in recent years. As you have already mentioned, you have organized several festivals. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So our festival is called Sustainability Day. The first one took place in June last year, and we wanted to bring the community together in person just to meet the people. And we felt like although the online platform is really a great resource, you know, you still want this human element. And people understand the lifestyle best when they see it and when they can touch it. And we wanted the festival to be kind of a place where you can go and see every category of life, what your alternatives are, presented in a nice way, in a good environment with music and food. We even had some documentary screenings, some talks. So it was kind of a positive event. We didn't want to have kind of too many negative, depressing messages. It was more like there are things you can do, and in fact, they're fun, and this lifestyle brings you a lot of advantages. And we had another one in December for Christmas, because we know Christmas is a time of hyper-consumerism, and we wanted to give people the option to find gifts that are more sustainable. So that was really fun, and we had around 3,000 people attend, actually, in December and 2,000 in June. So that's kind of evidence, I think, that people are interested in the topic, which is great.
And what are your plans into the future?
Well, for this year, it's definitely about our Prague Green City Guide. We would like to also sell it abroad, so it will be the main focus. And otherwise, just anything which is aligned with our mission, like to make our life better and make Prague greener and to promote this sustainable lifestyle.
Jennifer Day ending that report by Ruth Frankova. It was originally broadcast in March this year. Just reminding you, you're listening to Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us on email at english@radio.cz or contact us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be very happy to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks much, very much for joining us.